Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Davis steps under center. Gibson and McClendon behind him. Davis with motion by Richard will give the ball to McClendon. He leaps.
Oh, he doesn't get in. He fumbled the football. Carolina holds. The game is over. And Carolina has won the game.
Finley to throw. Over the middle, intercepted. Wolfolk again. Wolfolk the other way. At the 30, the 40. Wolfolk to midfield. Miles Wolfolk with the pick. The heels on the doorstep of an enormous victory.
Left side of the line. Hood standing to Williams to his right. Williams going to throw. One-on-one. Davis has it. Touchdown. Carolina wins. Carolina is the Coastal Division champion.
Bernard fields it at the 26. Heading to the far side. Gio at the 35. Gio, he's at the 50. No, he's not. Yes, he is. Gio is going to take it for a touchdown. Are you kidding me?
Connor Barth for the possible win. Snap, spot, kick away, high enough, long enough. It's good! It's good! Carolina has won the game on a 42-yard field goal by freshman Connor Barth. Good gosh, dirty!
This is the Heel Tough Blog Podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome into another edition of the Heel Tough Blog Podcast. And I told you last night, and I wouldn't have lied to you, we would be back for a second straight night. Now, again, we were monitoring everything that was going on in the transfer portal for the Tar Heels on the basketball side of things. So we didn't know for sure. There was some news that came out today that you guys can check out over on the website. But this is a situation where whenever we have a chance to jump in here and record, we will take the opportunity to do that. And tonight we have got that opportunity. And so we're going to tell you about the three commitments that Carolina landed on the 2025 recruiting trail in consecutive days. The staff has done a tremendous job piecing together this 2025 class out of the gate. Already 10 commitments in the class. And so this stretch should not really surprise anybody. Carolina had a bunch of guys on campus within the last 2 weeks. Of course, they had the all-access practice that they wanted to get some guys out to. And then they followed that up with their spring game. And so they had an opportunity to get a lot of these guys that they are targeting in the class out there. It's not some of the names that I think a lot of people were really familiar with. I still think these are guys that that are really close to the program, that really follow the program in depth, probably know. But at the same time, it's definitely a group of guys that I think, you know, two of them were unranked when Carolina ended up landing them. And the other one was a guy from the state of Kentucky that I just don't feel like we really knew a whole lot about coming in. But still, this is a really, really strong group that Carolina brings in. And we'll dive right into the group that Carolina landed, and we'll go in order in which Carolina landed these guys. And so you start out on Friday. Now, this one was scheduled. This one was one that we knew Carolina, as the week progressed prior to him making his announcement, we knew that Carolina had the edge there. They received some crystal ball predictions, and that's four-star edge rusher Austin Alexander, who hails from Cooper High School in Union, Kentucky. Number 42 edge rusher in the class, number 3 player in the state of Kentucky. And look, there's a lot to like about this kid. There's a reason why he is a 4-star prospect. Pretty solid release off the line of scrimmage. You know, nothing that's going to really blow you away, but very solid, allows him to get himself in a good position against offensive linemen right off the snap. But the thing is, he does an outstanding job of shedding blocks. Big guy, that, you know, in terms of the weight already for an edge rusher, 6'3", 243. So he's got the size already. He'll probably put on a few more pounds, maybe even before his senior year this year. And if he can do that, man, he's going to be in a really good position, because then, I mean, you're talking about a guy that would come in, if he could come in around 250, 255, that's right around where Carolina wants their edge rushers. And so I think that would allow him to potentially set him out, himself up to have an impact early on. But the thing is that even at that size, he really uses a lot of technical pass rush moves. That's how he gets to the quarterback. And that's the big reason why he's able to live in the backfield. The other thing, you see his athleticism show up. The cool thing about him is that if you go back and look at his stats, you know, when I saw that he committed, went back, looked at his stats from high school, you were expecting, okay, this is a guy that probably focuses on one side of the football as a four-star prospect. Edge rusher is a position that really takes a lot. And the other thing is that there's no way that you would have expected this guy to play a big role on the offensive side of the ball. And if he did, most of the time, you know, even with edge rushers, I mean, maybe you get some tight ends, but a lot of those guys are typically going to be guys that if they're going both ways, they're going to play on the offensive line. This is a dude that played receiver last year, and he caught 67 passes for 1,138 yards and 19 touchdowns. This dude is an athletic monster. And that's the thing that I think really stands out about him, is that he's going to be able to do things because of his athleticism that other guys in this class probably won't be able to do. The thing is that he's a guy that's had to use his hands a lot to be able to catch the football. So he's a guy that, you know, especially if he can read screens out, he could be a guy that could create a couple of turnovers for Carolina along that defensive line. That's something that you certainly want to watch out for. Very aggressive, created, two forced fumbles this year, two fumble recoveries. Each of the last 2 years, he's had at least two fumble recoveries. And a guy that, you know, just volume is really the name of the game with him. 81 total tackles this past year, so very, very involved as an edge rusher. 19 sacks, that's really similar type of production to what we saw from guys like Malachi Hamrick coming out of high school, Curtis Simpson. Both of those guys were big-time stat patters at the high school level because of just how successful they were. Now, those guys really succeeded with their speed. Look, there is speed there for Alexander, but again, it all goes back to those technical pass rushing moves. It just feels like he's a guy that understands how he can use some of those finesse moves to his advantage. He does a good job of mixing things up as well, but the thing is that he doesn't use a lot of physicality to his game. I think that's probably something you want to see him add just a little bit to his game, because, you know, at the size that he already is, I definitely think that that's something that can be there. And if he can add that to his game, it's hard to imagine that he's a guy that won't be able to come in and make a pretty immediate impact in this class for Carolina, because he is the best defensive player that Carolina has landed in this class. And really, it's not even close. I mean, Carolina has done a good job of going out and getting, you know, some guys. Alex Payne is their top player right now, the four-star offensive lineman. And then Bryce Baker, the four-star quarterback. Alexander's the only other four-star in this class. And so this gives Carolina a really good starting point. Now, Javion Butts is a guy that's closing in on being a composite four-star, ranked 419th in the country. So Carolina may have another guy that jumps up there. But for right now, this is really the cornerstone of this class. And Carolina did a really good job of going out of state to land him. You then go to the second commitment that Carolina got in this 2025 class. And for that one, you go into the state of Georgia. And this won't be the first time that Carolina takes a trip there over the weekend, but you go to Devin Ankrum, unranked defensive lineman from Mill Creek High School in Houston, Georgia. Now, the thing is that right after he ends up committing, you do have 20. 24/7 Sports that goes in. They rank him as a three-star prospect. I watched his film, and I got to tell you, you know, they rated him pretty low as a three-star prospect, a guy that's going to be on the lower end of the spectrum when it comes to three-star prospects, according to 24/7 Sports. I think some of the other sites, they might view him a little bit differently because there was a lot to like about him. And I think the thing with him is that, you know, his size, I think, is interesting. You know, 6'2", 295 pounds. But when I watched him at times on film, there were times where he looked probably a little bit thinner than that. But as the year went along, you started to see that there was the weight on him. I think this is a guy that if he can put on, you know, probably 20, 30 more pounds, this is a guy that fits the nose tackle spot to a T. Really shines in run defense. I think that's where his, you know, he shows up the most, really, because he just does a great job of winning that quickly and getting into the backfield. And when running backs are, you know, trying to find lanes and there's a guy in their lap immediately, it makes it incredibly difficult for them to be able to react. It also created issues for quarterbacks throughout the year. You know, but I think the biggest thing for him, the reason that he sets himself up so well, is for a defensive tackle, he has a great release off the line of scrimmage. So quick, so smart, a guy that really does a great job of reading the play, reacting immediately off the line of scrimmage. And that puts him in a great spot, especially against slower interior offensive linemen, to be able to get after the quarterback. So that's the thing. You got to love a lot of that stuff about him. I also think, you know, again, we talked about this so much when we talk about the defensive linemen. Mack Brown said this a few years back, and it's something that Carolina to this day still struggles with their defensive linemen, and that's shedding tackles. This is a guy that does that. And look, I get it. There are guys that we've said in years past have done this, and then when they get to the college level, they don't. The thing that I like about Ankrum and how he does it is it's a combination of things. It's not just I'm winning with power or I'm winning with finesse. He does a great job of mixing it up. The power is there. There's no doubt about that. There are a couple of times that he just drives guys straight back into the lap of a running back or the quarterback. But he also has moments where he simply gets a quick release off the line of scrimmage and pulls a swim move right off and is into the backfield to make a play. So I think that combination will allow him to be successful because he's got both in his bag. If he can win with physicality at the next level, that'd be great. That's, I think, the thing that you want to see the most from Carolina's defensive line, because I think that there are some guys on that unit right now that simply don't play with the level of physicality that they need to be able to consistently win. But at the same time, this is also a guy where, especially early on in his career, if he is not able to win with bull rush moves, that kind of stuff, he will use those finesse moves to be able to get in there. Now, the thing is that, look, he plays for Mill Creek High School, which is one of the best schools right now going in the state of Georgia. They are a factory. Carolina landed two guys in this past class, Aiden Banfield, Jaden Patterson out of there. Of course, you know, Josh Downs came from there. So there's a lot to like about – actually, no, excuse me, got him mixed up with his brother. That's where Caleb played. Josh played at North Gwinnett High School. My bad on that one. But Carolina has reached into the Mill Creek bag a few times here the last few years. So this is a school that is really on the come in the Atlanta area, one of the best schools around at producing talent. And Carolina, you know, to go and get this guy, I definitely think this is a guy similar to, you know, Aiden Banfield from this past year. I think if you give him time, this year, you'll see him start to trend up some of those recruiting rankings a little bit. And he's a guy that I think when we get to spring next year, you may hear a little bit about him because of just how physical he is, the size that he already brings. But the thing is that when I watched on film, I do think that there are some guys, even at that high level of ball, it's the top level 7A in the state of Georgia, I do think you see some undersized offensive linemen that he's going against. So There will be a learning curve. There's no doubt about that. That's why it could take him some time, like we've seen with some of the other guys that Carolina has along that defensive line over the past few years to settle in. But I do think that, you know, he will have a chance, especially with some of the old guard, Kevin Hester Jr., Javari Ritzy, Travis Shaw. All these guys are now upperclassmen. I do think there will be an opportunity for him to jump in and potentially become a part of the rotation within his first couple of years if he sticks it out, and then also could become a guy that contributes at a pretty high level within, once he gets to around year three or year four with Carolina. You finish it up on Sunday last night with the three-star linebacker Anthony Crua out of Marietta High School in Marietta, Georgia, the number 62 edge rusher right now, according to 24/7 Sports, and the number 63 player in the state of Georgia. So the thing is, you might be saying, well, why did you say he's a linebacker if he is a guy that is ranked as an edge rusher, according to 24/7 Sports? Here's the thing. I watch him. I mean, look, 6'2", 210 pounds. I mean, that's incredibly small for an edge rusher. I think it's one of those situations where you've got a guy that is just that good of a player. He's that tenacious that he's able to succeed at that size off the edge. And don't get it wrong. Marietta, not a great school. There's no doubt about that. That's a team that last year, three wins. They were 3-8 the year before. I believe they finished with two wins. They have not had a lot of success here recently while Crua has been there. But the thing is that this is a guy that stands out at the 7A level, just like Ankrum, who I talked about a minute ago. There's a guy that's playing against some of the best in the state, and he's getting the job done. So I think that shows you that the type of player that Carolina is getting. And look, maybe this is a guy that if he does put on enough weight, could become an edge rusher for Carolina. And that's why I think the versatility is what you really like here. But ultimately, especially at the size that he's at, and you started to see it more on his junior tape, they started playing him a little bit more at linebacker. I would like to see him play there a little bit more this year because I think that he's got the mindset, especially when it comes to defending the run, to be a successful linebacker. He's got that downhill mentality, which makes sense for a guy that plays edge rusher. But I think, again, you talk about a guy that just does a great job of shedding blocks. Even when these offensive linemen are able to climb to the second level, he does a great job of finding a way to get off those blocks and make plays. And he shows up a lot in the backfield. I think he's a really strong tackler. There's a lot of times where it's kind of just one-on-one, him and the ball carrier, him and the quarterback. He does a great job of bringing him down. And I do think that, even at his size, there is a level of physicality that he plays with. Now, again, he's not going to be the most physical guy, not like some of the other big bodies that you're typically going to see along the defensive front. But that's something that, for a guy of that size, if he shows any level of physicality, you really like that. The biggest challenge for him, and the reason why it's going to take him some time to get on the field at Carolina if he stays at linebacker, is because you haven't seen him in coverage. There was not a single coverage snap from him on his tape. And that kind of worries me a little bit. You would have liked to see at least a little something there, but that could go into the fact that he really hasn't played much at linebacker. So that's the reason I want to see him a little bit more at linebacker this year. Look, I understand there are going to be situations where you want to use him as an edge rusher. And one of the things that I think will be great if Carolina ends up keeping him at linebacker is that this will be a guy that, if it's Jeff Collins, still, which we hope, or if it's a new defensive coordinator by that point, they will be able to use this guy in blitz packaging because of just how good he was as a pass rushing guy off the edge in high school. So, I mean, you saw it. There were a couple of times on film where he lines up at linebacker, then moves over to the edge and gets after the quarterback. That could be something that you can do rather often with him And that could be something that he specializes in if that's the role that you want him in, especially early in his career until he learns how to cover in space. But, yeah, I hope they do give him an opportunity to play more linebacker this year, get a little bit of experience out there in space covering, and we'll get a chance to see whether or not he can really stick at linebacker or if he's a guy that Carolina is simply going to have no choice but to put some weight on and put him at the edge rusher position. The thing is you heard it there, two more guys from the state of Georgia, and that's a state that Carolina is just absolutely hitting hard. I mean, as hard as they can possibly hit it right now, Carolina is going after the state of Georgia. And look, some of these guys are not the best in the state. I will say this, though. The fact that they were able to go in and get a guy in Alex Payne who's ranked inside the top 150 in the country, that's really impressive. Carolina's doing a really good job in the state. The powers in that state are always going to run that state. But that is, at this point, I think you could make the case that might be the fourth most talented state in the entire country. Behind, you know, and really it's because of sheer volume. Texas is up there. California is still way up there. And Florida probably still has an edge. But Georgia is really, really close. I mean, you're talking about right now, three of the top 10 players in the country come out of the state of Georgia. And now, you know, two of those guys going to the West Coast. And Carolina is not really at the top for any of those guys. But the fact that Carolina is making some sort of waves with a guy like Alex Payne in the state and getting some of these other guys that are towards the middle of the rankings in the state, I think is big. And I think could only help Carolina moving forward. And this is a great supplement for a class that right now Carolina just is not doing a great job in their home state. Right now, I mean, things are looking relatively bleak here in the state of North Carolina. I mean, you're talking about in this class right now, Carolina has two guys that are committed from the home state. And one of them is a guy in Trey Blue who committed to Carolina a long time ago. Same thing with Bryce Baker as well. Both of those guys have been committed for a while now. I mean, you're talking about Bryce Baker last June, Trey Blue, the most recent commit out of the state back in September. So it's been a while since Carolina has landed somebody, and you've got the top three players in the state that are trending towards Clemson. You've got Bryce Davis, who's trending towards Georgia. A guy in Jaden Blair, who's the fifth-rated prospect that Carolina hasn't even offered so far in this class. And then you're getting, even once you get past those guys, you know, you got Baker, who's the sixth-rated player in the class that Carolina has landed, but Shamarius Peterkin looks like he has Carolina pretty much out of the running for him. Trajan Odom was on campus in Chapel Hill. Hopefully that was able to put Carolina in a good standing, because right now the West Coast teams, USC and Oregon, are doing a great job with him. And then there's a couple of other guys that Carolina hasn't even offered in Traquan Watson out of North Johnston High School east. And then you've got Keegan Chambers right here around the area that I'm in Monroe, that Carolina hasn't even offered yet either. So, I mean, Carolina not in a great place right now with a lot of the guys. I mean, even you're looking at the top 20. I mean, Carolina doesn't seem like they're positioned very well with any of these guys. It seems like a lot of the other options you know, at these position groups are going to have to come from out of state. So I think Carolina is doing a good job then supplementing those guys with, you know, guys from out of state, especially from the state of Georgia. State of South Carolina is an area where Carolina may be able to have some success, with them already being in good standing with Malik Clark, as well as Onis Konenbani. So that's the areas that Carolina really is going to have to work in this class. But I think credit to the staff, credit to guys like Charlton Warren, you know, a guy like Jimmy Kitchens who comes in, who did I do that every time. Jimmy Lindsay. I always get which offensive staff member he has the same name as mixed up. Jimmy Lindsay, a guy who just came in, also recruited in the SEC. Jeff Collins is a guy that, of course, recruited very heavily in the state of Georgia when he was the head coach at Georgia Tech. So a lot of these schools have good relationships with him, and also dates back even to his time in the SEC when he was a defensive coordinator. All of those different guys having connections in the state of Georgia. Oh, and Tommy Thigpen being a guy that can pretty much recruit just about anywhere at the linebacker spot, I think is working wonders for Carolina, because the defensive side of the ball is really where they're doing their work in that state. But that's something to monitor moving forward. Can Carolina keep up their pace there? Because they're going to have to, unless they start really making some waves with some of these guys in the state of North Carolina, or if some new guys start to jump on the scene, because right now it just doesn't feel like they're positioned very well with a lot of the guys in their home state. So that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the podcast, guys. Make sure you head over to the website, heeltoughblog.com. Check out the articles where we go a little more in depth on all these guys. I got all of the articles. Again, Austin Alexander, the four-star edge rusher out of Kentucky. You've got the three-star linebacker, Anthony Crua, out of Marietta High School in Marietta, Georgia. And then you've got Devin Ankrum, another guy from the state of Georgia, unranked prospect at this time. All of that stuff is on the website for you guys to check out, so make sure that you do that. Also, I encourage you guys to check out the spring game stuff. I know a lot of you guys weren't able to get out there. I know it's tough having to travel to Chapel Hill, especially this time of year. It's hard enough probably convincing your families to let you go to games during the season. So definitely, you know, if you didn't get a chance to check out the spring game in person, it wasn't streamed, it wasn't, put on television. So we have the breakdown for you on the website, six things that I took away from Carolina's spring game. And of course, Mack Brown met with the media today, so I will write something up, probably come out tomorrow, breaking down his comments as Carolina puts a bow on spring practice and will now turn to the summer months. They'll bring in a few more guys from their recruiting class that weren't on campus just yet, a few other transfers as well. So make sure that you guys are watching for all of that on the website throughout the next few months here as we take you throughout the second part of the Tar Heel offseason, this next dead period. Plenty of recruiting stuff, though, that you will be able to follow all throughout the summer as official visits and everything like that, with some of those big names that Carolina is going after in this class are coming up, and we'll have you covered on that front. Make sure you also check out the basketball coverage on the website. Guys, it is a crazy time right now for basketball, and this is really something that I think we're going to have to get used to, this rush after the basketball season concludes of news. Harrison Ingram entered the NBA draft on Saturday, but there is a piece of news that came out today. John Rothstein with a report that Harrison Ingram might not be set on going to the NBA. Make sure you check that out over there on the website. And then also, you know, plenty of stuff in terms of the intel that we're hearing in the transfer portal. Carolina finished, inside the top five for one of the best shooters in the entire country, the best shooter from beyond the arc a year ago in Kobe Bray. So make sure you go and check that out. Definitely one of those things where you kind of wonder, is this, you know, actually Carolina being tied to him, or is this a scenario where he's laying out the schools that he wants? So I dive into that a little bit over there on the website for you, and plenty of other stuff. A lot of rumors going on right now. We're keeping you covered with that on the website, but also on the Four Corners podcast. Again, guys, most of the time, especially with some of the big news that could be coming up, we will be going live here on the Facebook page. But you can also make sure that you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast, along with this podcast if you're a listener to the podcast, not somebody that likes to watch. So make sure that you subscribe to both podcasts wherever you get your podcast, so you don't miss any news on either side of things. And We've been encouraging you guys to do this, especially on the Four Corners podcast. Want to do the same here. Make sure every single day that you head over to HeelToughBlog.com to get caught up on the latest Tar Heel football and Tar Heel basketball news. So, once again, that wraps it up for this edition of the podcast. Want to thank all of you guys for watching and those that will eventually be listening. And as always, go Tar Heels!